Perenzanum, the king, has left his religious wife, who represents material intelligence, as has been explained, and he's gone to the forest. In other words, he is acting for his own pleasures. Conditioned souls in this world, they have desires. And the question, of course, if someone is a Paramhamsa, his desires are all spiritual. But if not, if one is not on that platform, he has material desires. So that leaves a very big question. We could artificially renounce the desires, as do the jnanis, and therefore it is called shuka vairagya, not shuka in the sense of happy, but sukshma, or very, very subtle, dry, or falgu vairagya, dry renunciation, because there is nothing positive. It's just giving this up and giving that up and giving this up, and I can't do this that I want to do. Very difficult to take that path. But the question is, what to do with those desires? If renunciation of them isn't practical, what to do? And the answer that Prabhupada will give in this section is one should, or this whole section is speaking about the benefit of religiously acting with one's desires. And this was explained previously by Sanat Kumar. At least one should not act hedonistically in an unrestricted manner to fulfill one's desires, sense desires. Because the result of that is an incredible degradation for the soul. And at least if one acts in a religious way to fulfill one's desires, in a religious way means, according to Shastra, then the passion of which that desires are born from, it will be gradually purified and shifted and changed, and detachment will awaken, purification will occur, and more. One will find oneself more in the mode of goodness, which is the basic principle of Vedic life. That every human being should use his life properly, responsibly, and at least take a few steps forward towards the actual goal of life. This is the meaning of the Vanashrama system. Everyone may not become a pure lover of Krishna, a pure devotee, a prema bhakta, but everyone should at least go forward to some degree and not go downward. Sridharam narakshedam kamas krodas tathalobas tasmat itam tyajet. No lust, no anger, no greed. Or minimized, or channeled through Shastra, so we'll be purified. So Paranjana has broken this principle and left his good material intelligence, the pravritti marg, and he's gone to the forest and acted unrestrictedly in his killing. And text 10 describes he killed many animals, including rabbits, boar, buffalo, bison, black deer, porcupines, and other game animals. After killing and killing, the king became very tired. So all this killing represents unrestricted sense enjoyment. And if one attempts his happiness by giving full rein to all his desires, unrestrictedly, attempting to enjoy the senses, the result is a deep sadness, unhappiness, frustration, a deep tiredness within the heart. And this is just what happened because, to King Paranjana, because satisfaction could not come to him in that way. Rather, ignorance is, or that passion turns to ignorance. A deeper covering, deeper dissatisfaction occurs. We'll read from the beginning of Prabhupada's purport. A person in the mode of ignorance commits many sinful activities. In the Bhaktarasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that a man becomes sinful out of ignorance only. Ignorance of who he is, actually. Ignorance of what is right action. Ignorance of the goal of life. Ignorance of his relationship with Krishna. Ignorance of the laws of material nature. Ignorance to the suffering that is going to occur. Just tons of ignorance, complete darkness or ignorance. And therefore, one's consciousness is covered and one commits sinful activities. And the resultant effects, Prabhupada continues, of sinful activity, sinful life, is suffering. It is not pleasure. It is not pleasure. The materialist thinks, if I fulfill all my desires in any way I want, I'll be so happy, and actually he will suffer so much. This is the law, the unbreakable law. So much suffering, and this is practically the definition of contemporary society. So much suffering brought about by unrestricted sense enjoyment. So those who are not in knowledge, who commit violations of the standard law, are subject to be punished under criminal law. Just like if someone says, whatever I want, I should have. I mean, everyone wants to have what they desire. But if someone says, just because I want it, I desire it, I should have it. So therefore, I'll take anything I want. I want this fancy car, I'll just take it. I want something in this store, I'll just steal it. So what happens is, one is caught by the Justice Department and ultimately thrown in jail, and one has to suffer so much. The laws of nature are very stringent. What does stringent mean? It's a word that Prabhupada uses quite frequently. Strict. Strict. Very strict. Perhaps we can put this down a little bit. Strict, very strict. There is no compassion in the laws of nature. When up a little bit, just like at least in the United States, when they show there's a statue that represents justice, and there is a scale. What are those kind of scales with the weight on? What are they called?
Balance.
So, and then justice has a blindfold on, and just balancing up the law and what the person did with not any consideration of the individual, his past, or anything. So justice is blind in that sense. It is not compassionate. It just applies the law. So that is the way of the material energy. If a child touches fire without knowing the effect, you can't plead, oh, he's only a child, he didn't know. No excuse. The child who touches fire will be burned. If a child violates the law of nature, there is no compassion. Only through ignorance does a person violate the law of nature, and when he comes to knowledge, he does not commit any more sinful acts. So, in the contemporary world, it is very rare that a person even knows sincerely what is the difference between good actions that are for his benefit and actions that will harm him. No one really has knowledge of this. In previous times, the religious cultures of the world, they taught morality, because morality is the basis on which a religious life, it is the general application of religious life in ordinary dealings, is the ethical application is morality. Prabhupada once said that when asked how will your disciples be recognized, he said, gentlemen and gentle ladies, gentlemen and gentle ladies. Where is that concept nowadays that this is a goal of education, to make someone a gentleman or a gentlewoman? No, it's simply economics. Artha, for what purpose? Kama, to satisfy one's desires in an unrestricted way. And this is foolish because it's based on ignorance. It's not based on dharma. It is artha and kama without the dharma, without the religiosity, and therefore it degrades. Next text. So what is Paranjana after unrestrictedly committing sinful activities, killing the animals? He is feeling very dissatisfied in heart, very much tired. So after this, the king, very much fatigued, hungry and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. And after returning, he took a bath, had an appropriate dinner, then he took rest, and thus became freed from all restlessness. Restlessness means dissatisfaction. Purport, we'll read the first paragraph. A materialistic person works throughout the whole week very, very hard. He is always asking, where is money, where is money? He's chasing money. He's working so hard in pursuit of money. Then at the end of the week, he wants to retire from these activities and go to some secluded place to rest. He wants some enjoyment or peace. King Paranjana returned to his home because he was very much fatigued from hunting animals in the forest. In this way, his conscience came to stop him from committing further sinful activities and make him return home. In Bhagavad Gita, materialistic persons are described as duskritina, which indicates that those who are always engaged in sinful activities, those who are always engaged in sinful activities. When a person comes to his senses and understands how he is engaged in sinful activities, he gains some knowledge and understands this is inappropriate what I'm doing. He returns to his conscience, which is herein figuratively described as the palace. He returns to a more natural state. Generally, a materialistic person is infected by the material modes of passion and ignorance. The results of passion and ignorance are lust and greed. And one more too that Prabhupada thought not of mentioning, anger. If one has kama or these desires, then if one fulfills one's desires, then one's desires increase to greediness. And if one isn't allowed to fulfill one's desires, then one becomes angry, krodha. So greed and anger are of ignorance, while desiring or kama is of passion. So passion leads to ignorance if given a free rein. In the life of a materialist, activity means working hard in lust and greed. However, when one comes to his senses, he wants to retire. One becomes tired year after year after year of working in this way to fulfill his desires and attempt. And one can no more fulfill one's desires than one can satisfy a fire by putting fuel upon it. He wants to stop. He becomes tired. It hasn't satisfied him. However, when he comes to his senses, he wants to retire. According to Vedic civilization, such retirement is positively recommended, and this portion of life is called vanaprastha. Retirement is absolutely necessary for a materialist who wants to become free from the activities of a sinful life. Why? Why is it absolutely necessary? And answer with using the word absolutely. Because one could say, how could Prabhupada could say absolutely necessary? So many people don't do it. They don't find it necessary. So it's not absolutely necessary. So what does absolutely mean? In this case. Absolutely necessary. Right, that's one way of looking at it, but so many people say, I do have a choice, and I don't want to retire. And so many people don't retire. So in what sense is Prabhupada using the word absolutely? Because absolutely would mean no choice in common uses.
You can have one of the two, either sense enjoyment or spiritual realization, but not both.
Yes, so where does absolutely come in? From the absolute point of view, from the point of view of eternity, from the point of view of the soul's relationship with Krishna, from the point of view of the soul's capacity for bliss in Braja, in his relationship with Krishna, one, it is absolutely required from that absolute point of view, the actual point of view, that is the point of view that is not covered by illusion or maya. From that point of view, it is completely necessary, absolutely necessary, that one retire from his sinful life, because one will just keep, the coverings will just deepen and deepen and deepen and increase and thicken over the soul. And he will lose the opportunity. So if one wants something wonderful, one must retire. Which is also what some of you were saying too. King Paranjan is coming home, taking bath, and having an appropriate dinner indicate that a materialistic person must retire from sinful activities and become purified by accepting a spiritual master and hearing from him about the values of life. Must. Unless one chooses to die like an animal and take an animal birth. If one would do this, he would feel completely refreshed. Instead of tired, he would feel refreshed. Just as one feels refreshed after taking a bath. After receiving initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, one must abandon all kinds of sinful activities, namely illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meeting. Prabhupada uses the word must there. He speaks very, very strongly. You must do this if you have taken initiation. But some people will say, well, I've taken initiation and I must not do that. And indeed, this has proved the case in many, many times. People have gone back and Prabhupada will discuss that. Now, at this point, for the remainder of the chapter, I would like to do two different things. Because in the verses, if we keep the understanding of the queen representing material intelligence, that understanding was given previously, that understanding will take us in one direction. And on the other hand, with Prabhupada purports, he takes a different understanding of what the queen is. And this is, because the queen is, is this pravriti marg, as this material pious enjoyment. But the queen is going to represent, in many times in Prabhupada's purports, Krishna conscious intelligence. Krishna conscious intelligence, not pravriti marg in the sense of the Vedic path of enjoyment, but pravriti marg in the sense of if one has material desires, one should religiously enjoy them, not enjoy them, fulfill them in such a way that one will spiritually advance. This seems to be the general tack that Prabhupada takes through the remainder of the purports in this chapter. And we spoke about this point. From the absolutist point of view, one would say that marriage is inappropriate for a soul, because marriage has to do with bodies. But who is on that Paramhamsa platform? Those who can avoid marriage should do so and remain fixed in spiritual desires only, because marriage, as Prabhupada told me, is not as simple. But Krishna consciousness differs from other paths. The path of bhakti differs from other paths. For instance, this is what Prabhupada explained to me, the path of jnana, there is no, or yoga, there is no question of marriage. If one wants to advance spiritually, one has to remain fully brahmachari, fully celibate. But in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada told me that Krishna consciousness is so powerful that one can make advancement from any position. But yet, brahmacharya is recommended to keep one's life as simple as possible so one can advance in a very straightforward way. But if one is not capable of being a brahmachari in Krishna consciousness, then one should get married in a Krishna conscious way, with the purpose of making spiritual advancement, not thinking, I am the lord of my house, I am the lord of my wife, I am the lord of my family, I will enjoy this, I will enjoy that, which is more or less, even if done religiously, is what Paranjana is doing when we take the material intelligence of the wife to mean material pravriti intelligence, how to enjoy in a pious way. But Prabhupada's purports take a different tact. It's more from the Krishna conscious point of view he'll instruct us. So what we'll do is go through first the verses and look at the conclusions that one comes to just by reading the verses and taking the wife as material intelligence. In materially pious intelligence. And then we'll go through what's going on, taking into account Prabhupada's purports and seeing where he will explain how to use one's material desires in a way that one will spiritually advance. So text 12. First, just the verses, and pravriti marg, the queen as pious material intelligence. So after this, after becoming refreshed, King Paranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. So he committed sinful activities, acted impiously against Shastra, was tired, was miserable, then refreshed himself. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body, put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed, and after this, he began to search out his queen. In other words, he's rejected impious, sinful pleasures for materially pious enjoyment. He's gone back to his queen. So after taking his dinner and having his thirst and hunger satisfied, King Paranjana felt some joy within his heart. Instead of being elevated to a higher consciousness, so when one is miserable, as Paranjana was experiencing after engaging in sinful activities, and so many devotees and so many people come to Krishna consciousness or religious life after engaging in sinful activities and obtaining only misery. Artha gigyasa artha ti. Distress. I've tried to enjoy the material world and I'm just simply suffering, so therefore I give up my sinful activities and take to Krishna consciousness. But here, the king, instead of being elevated to higher consciousness, he wanted to enjoy again with his lawful wife. He became captivated by Cupid and was moved by a desire to find his wife who kept him satisfied in his household life. In other words, he did not wish to engage in sinful activities, but neither did he wish to, he missed the point that imagining oneself the center and acting on one's passionate desires causes miseries, so instead he turns to pious enjoyment. And as these chapters go on, we'll see the result of acting even in a proper way, bound by false ego, bound by thinking oneself is the enjoyer. One ends up losing everything that one has gained through his piety and suffering because of that. Even if it is pious, the whole material world, the whole material energy ultimately turns against everyone in the material world. It smashes, it crushes. Even if one has acted piously, everyone in the material world, abrahmana bhuvana loka puna avatuna jana, this is a place of death from the topmost position to the lowest position. Everything in this world, pious, impious, will be crushed into fine dust. So this is the lesson, practically speaking, that we're going to learn if we're following this tact, this path of the verses. So he was satisfied in his household of life, so he was looking for his wife, he was agitated by Cupid. And at that time, Paranjana was a little anxious. Why was he anxious? Because he had just performed so many sinful activities, and now he's going to his pious wife, his pious intelligence, as if nothing had happened, expecting, oh, I'll just go back. No problem. I didn't like this sinful activity. But there is some reaction. So he inquired from the household of woman. He was anxious because he had done something improperly. My dear beautiful women, are you and your mistress all very happy like before or not? In other words, are you aware what I was doing? I do not understand why my household paraphernalia does not attract me as before, because without one's pious material intelligence, without one's wife, there's no meaning, practically speaking, to materialistic life. One can't enjoy himself. One cannot find any satisfaction when one is alone. One could be successful in so many material ways, but when one is alone, there'll be restlessness in the heart. So he could not, without, his wife was hiding somewhere actually as well here, so he could not be satisfied without her. I think that if there is neither a mother nor devoted wife at home, the home is like a chariot without wheels. Where is the fool who will sit down on such an unworkable chariot? So when his mind cooled down from his previous activities, he found no pleasure in this world, in his empty house without his wife. Kindly let me know, he continues talking to the maidservants of the palace, kindly let me know the whereabouts of that beautiful woman who always saves me when I'm drowning in the ocean of danger. By giving me good intelligence at every step, she always saves me. So when one is in the material world, we'll go back to the allegory that's being used. One gets caught into so many dangerous situations, and one's material intelligence, one's intelligence born of passion, guides him out of the dangerous situation. So that again is represented by the wife. In other words, the material intelligence, the pious material intelligence, protects one in the same way a wife protects a pious husband, a good wife. 17. All the women addressed the king because he was in anxiety. O master of the citizens, we do not know why your dear wife has taken on this sort of existence. Uh-oh, something has happened. O killer of enemies, kindly look. She is lying on the ground without bedding. We cannot understand why she is acting in this way. So she's very upset due to the fact that her husband, she had supported him with pious good intelligence, shastric intelligence for enjoyment, and he acted sinfully, and she is angry. The great sage Narada continued, my dear King Prachini Bharija, as soon as King Paranjana saw his queen lying on the ground, appearing like a mendicant, he immediately became bewildered. Prabhupada says in the purport, we'll get to that later, a bit later. The king, with a grieved mind, began to speak to his wife with very pleasing words. In other words, he had to see his own fault, and he had to lament that he had done something inappropriate. So he had to pacify her. Although he was filled with regret and tried to pacify her, he could not see any symptoms of anger caused by love within the heart of his beloved wife. In other words, when someone is angry and critical, it is because they care. But she wasn't even angry. She was so angry that it had burnt her attachment to him. You have acted like this. I no longer care about you. I never want to see you again. There was no anger even, just detachment. Because the king was very expert in flattery, he began to pacify his queen very slowly. First, he touched her 2 feet, then embraced her nicely, seating her on his lap, and began to speak as follows. My dear, beautiful wife, King Paranjana said, when a master accepts a servant as his own man, but does not punish him for his offenses, the servant must be considered very unfortunate. Considered. So what is he saying? You've accepted me as your servant. He's completely controlled by his wife. At this point, this is a third level to look at it. On that level, as we heard at the end of the previous chapter, he's acting so foolishly because his wife offers him material enjoyment. He's completely subservient to her. I am your humble servant, touching her feet. You should punish me. If you do not punish me for my improper activities, I am most unfortunate. My dear slender maiden, when a master chastises his servant, the servant should accept this as great mercy. One who becomes angry must be foolish not to know that such is the duty of his friend. My dear wife, your teeth are very beautifully set and your attractive features makes you appear very thoughtful. Kindly give up your anger, be merciful upon me, and please smile upon me with loving attachment. When I see a smile on your beautiful face, and when I see your hair, which is as beautiful as the color blue, What is this? What, there's a Hindi term for this. Something like the English translation is when your tongue is coated with honey. Madhu something. What is it? Person who knows the art of coating his tongue with honey before he speaks so he can get his way, flattery. And I see your raised nose and hear your sweet talk. You will become more beautiful to me and thus attract me and oblige me. You are my most respected mistress. So one level, material intelligence. Another level, a foolish man completely under the control of sense gratification. And Prabhupada will reveal another level that we shall read soon. And Prabhupada, in his purport, he speaks about a very famous parable that he told, liquid beauty. So attracted to, there was once a man who was so attracted to a woman, and he kept on flattering her and saying how beautiful she was. And she said to him, you want to see my beauty? He said, yes, I want to see your beauty. Come back in 2 weeks. I will show you all my beauty. So he was expectantly waiting his 2 weeks. And during that time, she took all purgatives and laxatives and was passing and throwing up and passing and throwing up. And simply for 2 weeks, she was purging her body of every bit of flesh, every bit of fat, every bit of anything. Until after 2 weeks, she was just bones and wrinkled. And she saved all the throw up and all the stool in buckets. And she put it in a room. Prabhupada wrote this story in his old Back to Godhead. So he came back in 2 weeks wishing to see her complete beauty. And he knocked on the door, and this old, wrinkled, ugly lady, emaciated, opened the door. Where's the beauty gone? Oh, I have that for you. It's right in this room. And she opened the door, and there was, this is materialistic beauty. It is not ultimately very attractive. So Prabhupada criticizes that by telling that story in the purport on that level. He continues, flattering her and trying to break her anger. My dear wife, until this day, I have never seen your face without tilak decorations, nor have I ever seen you so morose and without luster or affection, nor have I seen your two nice breasts wet with tears from your eyes, nor have I ever seen your lips, which are ordinarily as red as the bimba fruit, without their reddish hue, color. My dear queen, due to my sinful desires, I went to the forest to hunt without asking you. And Prabhupada gave the hint in the purport that this hunting is woman hunting. Therefore, I must admit that I have offended you. Nonetheless, thinking of me as your most intimate subordinate, you should still be very pleased with me. Factually, I am very much bereaved. But being pierced by the arrows of Cupid, I am feeling very desirous, very lusty. But where is that beautiful? Is the beautiful woman who would give up her lusty husband and refuse to unite with him? And he breaks her anger, and they in the next chapter will describe how they do indeed enjoy each other. Now, one must use one's material intelligence for pious enjoyment. That's the second level. After sinning, acting improperly, one must come back to one's proper materialistic intelligence for pious enjoyment this is on a particular level. Of course, again, this level is a level that will be destroyed in time. But the third level is the one that Prabhupada will give in his purports over here. We'll start on text. We've already read text 12, was it? Yes. Where he has taken a different choice after feeling miserable by sense enjoyment, unrestricted sense enjoyment. He goes back to pious. But Prabhupada is explaining another way. After feeling, understanding the very nature of the material world, that sense enjoyment means suffering. This is what the material world means. There is no use piously or impiously attempting to enjoy. Material sense enjoyment means suffering. What verse of the Bhagavad Gita describes this?
Huh?
Yes. Yes, dukkha yona evati. Yehi samsparsaja bhoga. The touch of the senses and the sense objects. Dukkha yona evati. What's the rest? They are the source of misery. Adyantu. Nateshu. Ramate Buddha. A wise person does not enjoy like this, in this way. It is only a foolish person who doesn't recognize the actual inherent misery that the material world, that is the material world, and trying to enjoy in a miserable place means suffering. Like a fish, there is no more chance of a soul enjoying in the material world. Because the soul is spiritual, there's no more chance of a soul enjoying than a fish enjoying outside of water. It can't be done. So in the 12th text, he takes shelter of... Did we read the purport here? No. The word sadhu alankrita used in this verse indicates that one must be absorbed in knowledge gathered from the instructions of saintly persons. Just as King Paranjana began to search out his better half, the queen, one who is decorated with knowledge and instructions from saintly persons should try to search out his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. One should understand. The knowledge means knowledge that one gleans from Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is dukkaya yonaya evite. Yehi samspajada bhoga. There's no happiness in this way. So I should try for my happiness on a different level. One cannot return to Krishna consciousness unless he is favored by the instructions of a saintly person. Therefore, Srila Narottama Das Thakur sings, Saru Shastra Guru Bhakya Chitite Kuriya Aikya. If we want to become saintly persons, or if we want to return to our original Krishna consciousness, we must associate with sadhu, a saintly person, shastra, authoritative Vedic literature, and guru, a bona fide spiritual master. This is the process. So this is the tact, the thread that Prabhupada is going to follow, a third thread. Next verse. So after refreshing himself, he was moved by a desire to find his wife. Prabhupada explains in his purport, this is an important verse, he says, because those who wish to become Krishna conscious, they must actually change their habits. And he says, due to past sinful life, a devotee eats too much in the name of prasad, he eats luxurious foodstuffs. And due to his past sinful life, he becomes attracted by Cupid. So it awakens the purva sanskaras for material enjoyment in his heart. And he eats good food voraciously. It is clearly visible that when a neophyte in Krishna consciousness eats too much, he falls down. Instead of being elevated to pure Krishna consciousness, he becomes attracted by Cupid. The so-called brahmachari becomes agitated by women, and the vanaprastha may again become captivated into having sex with his wife. Or he may begin to search out another wife. Due to some sentiment, he may give up his own wife and come into the association of devotees and a spiritual master, but due to his past life, he cannot stay. In other words, if one becomes tired of material enjoyment, a life of material enjoyment, and takes shelter of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada is saying, and the association of devotees, one must be very careful to live in such a way that his previous desires do not awaken, because there is a tendency. One is really suffering, and then one runs to Krishna consciousness, and then when one follows principles, and then when the suffering is relieved, if one doesn't make deep spiritual advancement, the material desires will again awaken, and if one's not strict, they will pull him away. So instead of being elevated to Krishna consciousness, he falls down, being attracted by Cupid. And usually this is the main attraction. It is Cupid, members of the opposite sex. And he takes to another wife for sex enjoyment. The fall of the neophyte devotee from the path of Krishna consciousness down to material life is described in Bhagavatam 1.5.17 by Narada Muni. I won't read the Sanskrit. This indicates that although a neophyte devotee may fall down from the path of Krishna consciousness due to his immaturity, his service to Krishna never goes in vain. So Prabhupada doesn't criticize those who fall away, but he's pointing out, even though they may fall away, what they have gained is eternal. However, a person who remains steadfast in his family duty or so-called social or family obligations but does not take to Krishna consciousness receives no profit. So someone can ask, is it better I've joined take this spiritual life but then it's too much for me and I come back? Better, I wish I never had joined, I wish I would have stayed at home? No, because the gain is eternal. And the loss is temporary. And one who just remains materialistically engaged does not gain anything on the eternal level. And the temporary, one must lose that anyway at the time of death. Now Prabhupada's going to speak more on similar points. And then Prabhupada explains further that one who comes to Krishna consciousness must be very cautious and refrain from prohibited activities as defined by Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangas taloyam cha shadbhya bhaktiya vanashati. A neophyte devotee should neither eat too much nor collect more money than necessary. Eating too much or collecting too much is called atyahara. For such atyahara, one must endeavor very much. This is called prayash. Superficially, one may show himself to be very much faithful to the rules and regulations, but at the same time not be fixed in the regulative principles. This is called niyamagraha. By mixing with undesirable persons or janasangha, one becomes tainted with lust and greed and falls down from the path of devotional service. This is Prabhupada's caution. So, the pastime continues. Paranjana was in anxiety because he had done something improper, and he began inquiring, something's wrong, what is wrong? And Prabhupada explains in the purport. In this verse, the word Vedeshat indicates King Prachini Barhi. When a man becomes refreshed by association with devotees and awakes to Krishna consciousness, he consults the activities of his mind, namely thinking, feeling, and willing, and decides whether he should return to his material activities or stay steady in spiritual consciousness. So one in distress comes to Krishna consciousness. The distress is removed to some degree. One still has material desires. Then one begins to wonder, what should I do? He begins to think, should I stay? Should I be a devotee? Or should I go back and enjoy? I still have these desires. The word kushalam refers to that which is auspicious. Now here's Prabhupada's the track that the train of Prabhupada's purport is going to go on for one who has material desires. It is better to make his home perfectly auspicious when he engages in devotional service to Lord Vishnu. When one is engaged in activities other than Vishnu Bhakti, or in other words, when one is engaged in material activities, he is always filled with anxieties. A sane man should consult his mind, its thinkings, feelings, and willing processes, and decide how these processes should be utilized. If one always thinks of Krishna, feels how to serve him, and wills to execute the order of Krishna, it should be known that he has taken good instructions from his intelligence, which is called the mother. Although the king was refreshed, he nonetheless inquired about his wife. Thus he was consulting, thinking, and willing how he could return to his steady good consciousness. The mind may suggest that by vishaya bhoga, a sense enjoyment, one could become happy. But when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, he does not derive happiness from material activities. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Vishaya vinivartante nirharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopasya param drisvinavartate. Remember last week, this is what so much of what Sanat Kumar was explaining and Prabhupada explained in the purport was the necessity of param drisvinavartate to gain a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. Because if one has desires, material desires, unless one has this higher taste, higher experiences in reserve to think about, to remember, to take shelter of, those material desires will pull him back. So it is so important to advance in Krishna consciousness, not stay the same. To advance. On one hand, we were instructed to give up the bodily concept of life, and on the other hand, we were instructed strongly to develop an attachment for Krishna. Then, both those being done, one is safe. One must develop an attachment for Krishna, and that, practically speaking, is the definition of param drisvinavartate. And that verse was quoted so many times in the purports of the verses spoken by Sanat Kumar. So the same point is being made here. And the preaching of Narada Muni to Prithini Barishad is to help us, to help him and to help us develop a detachment from the bodily concept of life, because we understand that it is a dead end. It is a train that will become derailed. It is a building that will be demolished. And exactly that's what's going to happen. The body is the city, and we can know this for sure and certain. This city is going to be demolished by the forces of time. And this is what will start to happen in the next chapter. Detachment from this bodily concept of life. If we attach to this city, thinking it's the source of my pleasure, it is me, then we are bound for the most incredible type of suffering. And if we engage this body trying to hedonistically enjoy, we are bound for hellish miseries and suffering. So therefore the same points are really being made here, but especially on the side of the detachment from the bodily concept of life. And this has not become fully clear yet, but the verses are showing that enjoyment on the bodily level, pious, impious, it is doomed. It will become clear later. It is doomed. Now it is cute. Oh, the king touches his wife's feet. Oh, my dear, you're with a beautiful nose and your beautiful bluish-black hair and your teeth that are like pearls and you're this and you're that, so beautiful. Please enjoy with me. Oh, romantic and cute. But in the end, as we'll hear in the next chapter, or in the end, if you visit any crematorium god or old age home, there is no romance left. It is very sad. So when the opportunity comes that someone is taken to some enjoyment and feels unhappy by that, we should take the path that Prabhupada is suggesting here in his purports. Go to Krishna. And then, okay. And then at some point, the stress is relieved. You have to make some more choices. More choices. Well, should I go back? Or should I go forward? Well, let's read on and we'll decide what we will do if those thoughts come to us. And again, the best assurance of going forward is Param Dvistvinavartate. And what is Param Dvistvinavartate? A higher taste. And what is the higher taste? Attachment to Krishna. This is the other half of what Sanat Kumar had explained. Attachment to Krishna. Attachment to Krishna. To what form of Krishna should we be attached? To the holy names. To the book form of Krishna. We read it every day. That you are Krishna. You have come. You have incarnated. As book Bhagavatam. To the sadhus who are carrying Krishna Katha. As Kapila Muni described, to the deities, to the holy Dham, potent items of devotional service, they award a higher taste. And we should take that by associating with them. One can, and so Prabhupada concludes this purport, very important. One cannot be unattached to the sense objects unless he finds better engagement in devotional service. Param dvistvinavartate, one can cease from material activities only when one actually engages in devotional service. Prabhupada explains, it's very practical, go to Krishna consciousness. Unless one is religiously guided, this is at the end of purport to 15, unless one is religiously guided by intelligence and renders devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his home can never be very pleasing to a saintly person. In other words, if a man has a good mother or a good wife, there is no need of his taking sannyas. That is, unless it is absolutely necessary, as it was for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's saying that this Krishna conscious intelligence is represented by the good chaste wife is a blessing. So this point came up yesterday. So depending upon what perspective is being spoken of, one point or another is emphasized. Sometimes all kinds of household of life are condemned. Other times, good Krishna conscious household of life is praised. And here, in the purport to 16, There's no difference between a good wife and good intelligence. One who possesses good intelligence could deliberate properly and save himself from many dangerous conditions. In material existence, there is danger at every step. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Padam Padam Yad Vibhadam Natesham. The material world is not actually a place of residence for an intelligent person or a devotee, because here there is danger at every step. Vaikuntha is the real home for a devotee. For there is no anxiety and no danger. If we accept this city of our body as our home, we are bound in so many ways for anxiety and danger. But our real home is back to home, back to Godhead, back to Vaikuntha, back to Vrindavan, back to where else? Mayapur, the Mayapur Vasis, Teen Dham, the three holy dhams of Mahaprabhu. Good intelligence means becoming Krishna conscious. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Krishna ye bhaje se bharat chotur. Unless one is Krishna conscious, he cannot be called an intelligent person. Herein we see King Paranjana was searching after his good wife, who always helped him out of the dangerous situations that always occur in material existence. As already explained, a real wife is Dharma Patni. That is, a woman accepted in marriage by ritualistic ceremony is called Dharma Patni, which signifies that she is accepted in terms of religious principles. Children born of Dharma Patni or a woman married according to religious principles inherit the property of the father. But children born of a woman who is not properly married do not inherit the father's property. The word Dharmapatni also refers to a chaste wife. A chaste wife is one who had never had any connection with men before her marriage. And then Prabhupada speaks about that. With such a good wife, actually such a wife, a little earlier, but if one gets a chaste wife, accepted through a religious marriage ritual, she can be of great help when one is threatened by the many dangerous situations of life. Actually, such a wife can become the source of all good intelligence. With such a good wife, the family's engagement in devotional service of the Lord actually makes a home, a grihastha ashram, or household dedicated to spiritual cultivation. We'll read the beginning of the next purport. So Prabhupada is taking a different tact here. The good intelligence means good Krishna conscious intelligence. And the good wife is not the good pious material enjoyment wife, but the good Krishna conscious wife that protects one and helps one's Krishna conscious. Krishna is the center. So Prabhupada's purport, when the wife is angry at him, neglecting him, says, when a person is devoid of devotional service or Vishnu Bhakti, he takes to many sinful activities. King Paranjana left home, neglected his own wife, and engaged himself in killing animals. This is the position of all materialistic men. They do not care for a married, chaste wife. They take the wife only as an instrument for sense enjoyment, not as a means for devotional service. To have unrestricted sex life, the karmis work very hard. They have concluded that the best course is to have sex with any woman and simply pay the price for her as though she were a mercantile commodity. Thus they engage their energy in working very hard for such material acquisitions. Such materialistic people have lost their good intelligence. So he's condemning this so-called bachelor life where one is engaged in illicit activities, irresponsible life. Rather, one should become Krishna conscious through married life. This is the way that it is going here. And Prabhupada explains later in this same purport. In the lowest species of life amongst bird and animals, it is seen that by nature's arrangement, the husband and wife live together. It is similarly ideal in human life for the husband and wife to live together. The home should be a place for devotional service, and the wife should be chaste and accepted by ritualistic ceremony. In this way, one could become happy at home. Text 18. In this verse, the word avadutam is especially significant, for it refers to a mendicant who does not take care of his body. So this is the queen when she was neglecting her body and lying on the ground fully renounced. Since the queen was lying on the ground without bedding and proper dress, King Paranjana became very much aggrieved. In other words, he repented that he had neglected his intelligence and had engaged himself in the forest and killing animals. In other words, when one's good intelligence is separated or neglected, he fully engages in sinful activities. Due to neglecting one's good intelligence or Krishna consciousness, one becomes bewildered and engages in sinful activities. Upon realizing this, that I have done wrong, a man becomes repentant. Such repentance is described by Narottama Das Thakur, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gonainu Manusha Janama Paya Radha Krishna Nabajiya Janiya Shunya Bishakainu. After having heard knowingly, knowingly, Bishakainu, I drink poison, I do not worship Radha and Krishna. Lamentation. The same point comes out when Ajamil becomes saved by the Vishnu Dutas without lamenting one's previous improper activities. They will not be driven from the heart. That is a precursor, a prerequisite. It is necessary before getting strong shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. One has to lament. In Prem Bhakti Chandrika Narottama Das Thakur says, Dick, I lament so many things. Prabhupada continues in his purport. Narottama Das Thakur herein says that he repents for having spoiled his human life and knowingly drunk poison. By not being Krishna conscious, one willingly drinks the poison of material life. The purport is that one certainly becomes addicted to sinful activities when he becomes devoid of his good chaste wife, or when he has lost his good sense and does not take to Krishna consciousness. Next purport also. The king very much regretted having left his queen and having gone to the forest to execute sinful activities. When a person regrets his sinful activities, the abandoning of Krishna consciousness and good intelligence, his path of deliverance from the path of material clutches is open. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 555, Parabhavas Tavad Abhudhajato Yavan Na gigyasata atmatattvam. When a person loses his Krishna consciousness and loses interest in self-realization, he must engage in sinful activities. Why must? Baladi vinayojita. Because the material energy is extremely powerful. It will force one to engage in sinful activities if one has these samskaras. Even a little bit. The material world is such a nasty place. Naturally, one comes to Krishna consciousness, regrets his previous sinful activities in the human form. Only by this process can one be delivered from the clutches of nescience or ignorance in materialistic life. What process? Only by this process. What process?
Regretting.
I've done so many things in this life, but I've wasted so much time. Even to this moment I waste time. Forget Krishna. At the time of death I will lament so much. Next purport. Again, One has to awaken, this is 20. One has to awaken his Krishna consciousness by first regretting his past deeds. Just as King Puranjana began to flatter his queen, one should, by deliberate consideration, one should think about what one wants to do with one's life, what is actually to be gained in life. How, when I'm about on my deathbed, and it's actually true, some research was done, maybe it was, I can't remember where I read this, maybe it was in years and years and years ago in a Kavi book. He said that when people, when they're old, they've interviewed old people, and they ask them, what do you regret most? And invariably, I should have done this, I had the opportunity to do this, but I didn't do it. Generally, it's not, I've done this bad thing, I've done this bad thing, I've done this bad thing. Not lamenting something that I did do, but I had an opportunity to act, but I didn't take it, the chance, the opportunity. So here we are with such an opportunity in Krishna consciousness to become devotees, actual devotees is spoken of here, not just on the outside. Because on the outside, devotee, and on the inside, selfish materialist, is very unsatisfying. Letting the material desires, cultivating them, and not developing attachment for Krishna, that is so unsatisfying. Wobi hai, wobi nahi hai. Neither here nor there. We should go strongly this way towards Krishna. Otherwise, when we're old, we'll just lament. Shunya janiya visha kainu. I had the chance to actually develop love for Krishna, and I wasted it. When I chant my japa, I let my mind wander everywhere. When I do this, I don't take it seriously. I don't get to the essence, to the heart of it. So, yes, so now we have the chance. Take it. To such an end, so one should try by deliberate consideration, meaning we should use our intelligence to think, what do I really want to do with my life? If I, with my deliberate intelligence, I decide I don't want to be Krishna conscious, then, well, be brave and do what you want to do. Learn that way. Or by deliberate intelligence, if we decide, I want to love Krishna, then we should do what's required for that. Raised by deliberate consideration, of course Prabhupada has already said it, real intelligence means the one that will direct one to Krishna. So by deliberate consideration, one should raise oneself to the platform of Krishna consciousness, and to such an end, one must touch the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Krishna consciousness cannot be achieved by self-endeavor. One must therefore approach a self-realized Krishna conscious person and touch his feet. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, Naisham matis tabira rukramangrim spri shad yanarta pagamo yarata mahi yasham paravajo vishekam niskinjananam nabanityavad. One cannot come to the precincts of Krishna consciousness unless he touches the dust of the lotus feet of a person who has become a Mahatma, a great devotee. Daivim prakritam ashrita. This is the beginning of the surrendering process. Lord Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him. Put Krishna in the center. Surrender. And the surrendering process begins when one touches the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. By sincerely rendering service to a bona fide spiritual master, one begins his spiritual life in Krishna consciousness. Touching the lotus feet of a spiritual master means giving up one's false prestige, an unnecessarily puffed up position in the material world. Those who remain in the darkness of material existence due to their falsely prestigious position. So-called scientists and philosophers are actually atheists. They do not know the ultimate cause of everything. Although bewildered, they are not ready to surrender themselves to the lotus feet of a person who knows things in the proper perspective. In other words, one cannot arouse Krishna consciousness simply by his own mental speculation. One must surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. Only this process will help one. Very heavy purports, very straight to the point. The process of surrender. More, according to Vedic civilization, 21. I'll skip a little because I'm already spoken too long. Similarly, a master sometimes punishes his servant, not out of vengeance, but out of love, to correct him and bring him to the right point. Thus King Paranjana took his punishment dealt by his wife, the queen, as mercy upon him. He considered himself the most obedient servant of the queen. She was angry at him for his sinful activities, hunting in the forest and leaving her at home. King Paranjana accepted the punishment as actual love and affection from his wife. In the same way, when a person is punished by the laws of nature, by the will of God, just see how Prabhupada has put the laws of nature equate equally with the will of God. There's an important text in the 10th canto on this point. They're exactly equated. When something happens, it cannot happen without Krishna's will. That is, of course, when it happens to me. I have to think, like, when it happens to you, I go, oh, it must be Krishna. I hit you with, oh, it must be Krishna's desire. So, in the same way, when a person is punished by the laws of nature, by the will of God, he should not be disturbed. A real devotee thinks in this way. When a devotee is put into an awkward position, he takes it as the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Tateyunu kampam susamikshamano bhunjane vatma kritam vivakam ridvag vivapodam vidana namaste jivatiyo muktipade sadayabhak. This verse states that a devotee accepts a reversal of his position in life as a benediction by the Lord, and consequently offers the Lord more obeisances and prayers, thinking that the punishment is due to his past misdeeds and that the Lord is punishing him very mildly. At the end of 23, last paragraph, short paragraph, King Paranjana begged his queen to return to her original beauty. He tried to revive her, just as a living entity tries to revive his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, which is very beautiful. All the beautiful features of the queen could be compared to the beautiful features of Krishna consciousness. When one returns to his original Krishna consciousness, he actually becomes steady and his life becomes successful. Prabhupada, in the next purport, he speaks about, because he's apologizing to his queen for offending him, Prabhupada cautions not to offend Vaishnavas, and he explains the only process of removing the offense is by begging the pardon of the offended Vaishnava. And Prabhupada, indeed, he established within the morning program the process of saying vanchakalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sundaraya Vacha, offering obeisances to the devotees, not as something ritualistic and just something we do thoughtlessly. It is because in the course of dealing with so many devotees all packed together, we definitely offend one or two every now and then. In fact, in the early days of the movement, when everyone was living in the ashram, When devotees would wake up in the morning, whatever they would see, any devotee for the first time that day, they would offer their obeisances. Because when someone offers the obeisances and embraces them, then if there's some tension or something, it's given up. But it was very sincerely done. At least that's my remembrance of it. And Prabhupada wanted that Vansakalpaturu Vyascha in the morning to be sincerely done. We are living in a society of devotees, and that is the one danger of living in a society of devotees. It's so easy to take everyone for granted and cheaply and offend. And that's all we'll read. I thank you very much. Long class. So there were three different levels. Three different levels. One is the foolish king that's so attached to his queen. Better that than at being attached to sinful activities. Another level, queen is materially pious intelligence. And another level, good Krishna, she's good Krishna conscious intelligence. Okay, thank you very much. No time for questions, but time for some Gaunatai, Giriraj, Prabhupada, Makosai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.